Coming up on TMSPM, that's a nice Star War.
Dan, the tabletop man.
Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMSPM.
Everybody, welcome back to TMSPM. It is the PM edition of the morning stream for April 12th, 2019. Scott Johnson here, Brian Ibbett there.
Hi. Hello, happy Friday.
Hello. I don't know. Is it though? Is it a happy Friday?
It's a Friday, and for me, that makes it happy automatically.
I don't know. I still have a lot to do. I don't want to think about any of it.
Watched our film sec movie yet?
No. So I'll do that today. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually not looking. I mean, I'm not looking forward to it. I like it. I like that. Mm-hmm. Well, at least I think I like it. I liked it before, so I got to watch that. And then, I got some stupid thing with friends tonight that I don't want to do. They're coming over. One of those deals. And then Saturday's just super busy, and I don't know, man. It's just a lot going on. And you got record day tomorrow. Isn't that the thing tomorrow?
I've got a bunch of stuff. So I've got a Mammoth game tonight, hence the Mammoth shirt.
Yeah. It's huge.
Or the sweatshirt. I've got tomorrow morning film sec. Right after that, record store day. Right after that, Pokemon community day. Right after that, I'm going to the Elks.
What?
The Elks Lodge.
What?
A buddy of mine is the bartender at the Elks, and they're having their annual Elks Gala or something like that. And So he's a singer, ukulele player. He's written some songs, but he wants all the Elks to be able to hear the lyrics. So he's got a PowerPoint thing set up that I'm going to be operating while he plays his songs.
How much are you allowed to drink while you operate said thing? Do you know?
Oh, it'll be constant.
Okay.
Drinks there are top shelf liquor, and they're $2 each.
Oh man.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds all right. Yes. We'll go. Yeah, you've got plenty to do. Holy crap.
Yes. We made the joke. I hope that font is 120 point.
Yeah, the Elks Club. Is it mostly old people? Like, what do they do there? I don't even know.
It is a place for a little repose. A chance to get away and hang out with like-minded individuals. No, actually, it's really cool. They do a lot of good stuff here in Arvada, like at least this branch or this. What do they call it? It's not a branch.
No,
it
is not this faction. They have a word for it.
They do. Yes. I mean, Lodge is the place they meet, but it's an Elks.
This
faction.
Faction.
Elks. Anyway.
Chapter.
Yeah, so this chapter does a lot of great stuff in Arvada, helping out a lot of community projects, giving out food to the homeless, and working in the downtown shelters and stuff like that. So,
but the stereotype's true though that it's a lot of old dudes in scooters, right? Isn't that the deal?
It kind of is. Okay. I've been there a few times, and I haven't seen any scooters, but it's a lot of I'd say 75% older male wearing a baseball cap with some sort of hunting logo or camouflage print or.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all right. We'll have fun at that. It'll be a big weekend. We'll report on it Monday. That new Star Wars trailer teaser thing dropped today. That was really good, don't you think?
Very good. Yes. Yeah. What I could see of it around my cat's head.
Yeah, that was what was she so interested in? What was that about?
She just likes to hop up on the little platform right in front of my computer monitor and just chase the mouse and watch the growl notifications pop up in the corner and attack those until the doorbell rings or I tell her to get down. One of the two.
Does she know that the doorbell means that things are about to get real, like somebody's there and it's time to run and all that?
It means that the dog is going apeshit, and that's when she's like, oh, what the hell?
I love that she has a reaction like my dogs have. It's just a different kind of reaction. It's like time to go hide because dogs are about to get all up in your face.
Right. The doorbell itself, I don't think would do it, but it's the dog, you know, going bananas when the doorbell rings that puts her on edge and says, okay, all right, this is getting real. Yeah.
Brian made a tweet of it. You guys should go look at it. It's funny. Cat's a hoot. And watching it end right when the doorbell rang was a pretty funny little moment.
Right. It's funny because I thought I edited that out, so I'm glad there was nothing worse that I had to edit out that didn't get edited out.
Like the huge fart after, yeah, the big fart.
Right. Oh, well, are you kidding? I'd leave that in. I'd amplify it. I'd figure out some way. Speaking of which, your video is no slouch either, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. I got in this wild mood. I think it was the caffeine this morning or something, but I finished the instance with Kyle and Patrick, and as soon as I, or not Kyle, Garrett and Patrick, and as soon as I was done, the Star Wars thing was already going, right? The little stage thing they did. And
right, the celebration, yeah.
Yeah, and they hadn't gotten to the trailer yet, but then I got all busy with some stuff, and I came back, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's out, it's out, and I watched it, and I couldn't help but think the soundtrack needed some work, so I went ahead and made my own version of it. My original plan was to go nuts and do the entire trailer, but I decided to cut it there.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that would have been too much. Too much. But,
too much. No, what you did was just plenty. And it's good to see the BB-8 now has an R2-D2 of his own.
Hey, he's got his own little buddy. By the way, this is what the new lightsabers sound like. Check it out. That's weird. They've changed it. It's not like it used to be. Yeah.
It's like a more organic sound to it.
Yep. I had.
And do the different colors, different pitches? Different smells.
One would hope. I have a new hope that it will. Anyway, it was great. I loved it and made me all excited. And some people are already flipping out because the saber she's using appears to be Luke's, we thought was destroyed in the last movie. And Kylo Ren putting his helmet back together. Everyone's going, oh, this is J.J. Abrams fixing all this recon and all the stuff they did in the last one. And I'm like, I don't know. That's a little early to tell, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's boy. Let it come out before you put on your hate pants.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. For the most part, and I think people are excited, but I think a few people are just weird.
I'm very excited about it. I love seeing Lando in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hoping for what's the guy next to him, Nian Nub or whatever, Noom Nub.
Oh yeah, Nian Nub. Yeah.
I wish he would have been there. That would have been cool. Mm-hmm. Just to go after he yelled. Said, we're going in, ha ha ha, and then we go.
Oh yeah, that chunk of Death Star.
Yeah. Oh, is that what that was?
In there. Yeah.
That's so cool, dude.
It's part of the dish, so they must be on Yavin.
It could be Yavin, or it could be.
Could be the new one, right?
Well, what's the new third movie? The Moon Endor. It could be Endor. They're on, right?
Oh, it could be Endor. Did they? They did have the dish done for Endor. Because I think you've got to have the dish.
Yeah, you got to
have
the dish.
Start building the dish, and then you build the Death Star around the dish.
Yeah, what they won't show is the 30,000 little Ewoks that died as that thing fell on them. They're not going to show that.
That's right. Yeah. Whole bunch of squished Ewoks.
They just showed a bunch of music. So, yeah, it'll be good. I'm excited. The chat Sidian says, it's called the Laser Array. Okay, great.
Actually, it's called the Laser Array. I have one of them mint in bag.
Did you weigh in today? How'd that go?
I did. I, despite my dizziness, I'm still a rat in a cage, and I had to go weigh myself. 2.6 down. So I'm at my lowest. Still traveling ever lower, and making up for last week's up 1.4, whatever it was. So
that's a nice normal pattern, man. I think you're right where you're supposed to be.
It is. You know what? I'll have a drop down and then a couple, maybe a little bit up and then a drop down and then a little bit up. But
why not? Maybe doing a little dance on the steps, just a little bit up, a little bit down, then a little bit more up, then down, down, down. And you can play music while you do it.
Exactly. Yes. So since the start, I've lost 28 pounds. You know, it doesn't seem like I hear so many stories about people like, oh, I lost 40 pounds the first couple months of Weight Watchers. All right, so I'm going a little slow. But you know what? I'm going, and I'm fine with that.
No, it feels like a nice, healthy
It'll probably thing. Be really easy for me to maintain after this, you know, slow decline.
Yeah, in theory. Did you see Justine Bateman while you were there?
She was there. I talked to her for a little bit. Yep.
Nice.
She let her daughter dress her today, so she was wearing a dress and some big clunky shoes and
really? Wait, her daughter dressed her.
her daughter dressed her, and like so picked out the clothes that she was going to wear. Yes.
And are they so goofy looking that she has to preemptively tell people my daughter dressed me? Yes.
Okay. Yep. She thought, and I wouldn't have thought a single thing of it, but apparently she thinks I'm quite the fashion maven.
Yeah.
And needed to prepare me for what I was witnessing, no I guess. Kidding. I don't know.
Kazura 8 in the chat says, because of Brian, I have lost 20 pounds. There's another one you've done there. Look at that. Nice job.
Noise that goes with that.
It's awesome, though.
Well, I've lost my appetite. Yeah. No, thank you.
No. Yeah, I don't think he means because of your visage. I think he means because you've inspired him to lose weight, I think is what
that's
he means.
Cool. Well, congrats, Kazarate.
Yes.
Kazarate.
He's a relatively new person, but I see him in there a lot. And he's it's nice to have him. Nice new familiar face. All right.
And yes, Thermos Jack, I am still a little bit dizzy. I don't know what the deal is, but.
Yeah, this kicked in when? A couple days ago or yesterday morning?
Yesterday morning, right after... pretty much right after I got up and worked out. That's what I was thinking, maybe pinched nerve, but I don't know. It's weird. It's totally weird.
If it was right after the workout, that would be my theory.
That would imply, yeah, exactly. My aunt says that it's dehydration, so I've been also drinking a lot of water.
Yeah.
And going with that.
Maybe you're just missing 28 pounds and your body's like, whoa, hold on a minute.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
it. Oh, look at that water just down in it. Nothing worse than dizziness. My daughter's been having it. Some neonatal, I don't know, baby-related milking things, reasons different than yours. But also she has in-laws coming in town, and she's also not drinking enough water, so I think hers might be dehydration and stress. Yeah. So I don't know.
It's hard, you know? It's like,
yeah.
I like coffee, and that doesn't help you with hydration. Sure, the main ingredient is water, but it's a... diuretic.
Yeah. Hate that word, but yes, you're right. Don't you always hate it? Because it doesn't have anything to do with diarrhea.
Diuretic.
It's just such a diuretic. Yeah, yes. Exactly. What should we give our evildoers? Make them drink diuretics. It just sounds awful. Anyway.
Yes. Feed them to the diuretics.
That's right. I had vertigo a few years ago and dizziness, and it was the worst freaking thing. And it was years ago. It was before TMS started, well before that. It was just this bout of it. And they gave me this medication at the time for it that was called... I think they gave you some. It's, what's it called? Magic deal. Whatever it is. But they got Taylor on that too. So everybody I know is on this anti-dizzy medication right now.
Oh, yeah. The mescaline. Or not mescaline. Yeah, mescaline.
Mescaline?
Meclizine.
Mexican magazine. Nailed it.
That's right. Yes. Mezcal. They're giving us mezcal, and we have to eat the worm.
Yeah.
We've been drinking it.
And that's, and there's Dan. He's already in the chat telling us what for. Well, Dan's about to be in here telling us what for.
But. 25 grams of meclizine, Dan.
Yep. Put that in your can, Dan.
Antivert. I have bonine.
Hold on. Okay, there. Antivert. Is that a thing? Dan, is that a thing?
Antivert is the brand name of meclizine.
Oh, okay. That's what they called it when they gave it to me back in like 05. Yeah.
Yep.
I have
bonine or bonine.
Bonine, right. That's another name for it. And a lot of times when you see them at the store, it'll be something along anti-motion sickness and stuff like that. A lot of times will be meclizine. They usually use meclizine or it's another one that's it's kind of like doxylamine or diphenhydramine. A lot of those will be used for like when you go on cruises and stuff like that.
Right. All right. Well, hold on. Let me properly introduce.
Be careful. May cause drowsiness.
All right. That's Dan's intro. It's perfect for today.
This meclizine can cause drowsiness.
Dan, the tabletop man and the pharmaceuticalist man who knows all sorts of things about the things we take with water. And this same stuff. I remember taking it and it was weird because I don't know if it still looks like this. To the ones Brian has, but mine was half yellow and half white, but it was a tablet.
Right. Yep.
Is that what yours are, Brian?
Usually you see mine them, they're either like blue or yellow are kind of the two different strengths that you normally, two different things you normally say. I think the 25s might be usually blue and the 12 and a half might be yellow or 50s, but usually about that.
Okay.
Yeah, mine are red, raspberry chewables.
Really? And, chewables. Yeah.
Chewables.
That's cute.
That's cute.
I didn't realize they were chewables until I downed the first pair last night. I'm like, oh, that had kind of a raspberry flavor going down. I'll just chew the
Actually,
next
a lot of the
tomorrow.
Over-the-counter ones are very common to be chewable as well.
You know what's easier?
Like if you're on a plane and you're getting, if you need,
right.
trauma relief, you need to be able to
yeah.
right away.
It's much easier to accidentally swallow one of those than it is to do the opposite, which is chew something you're supposed to swallow.
Yes, exactly.
Which I have done, and that's not
so fun. Brian, what, anything, has anything changed diet wise or, I don't want to violate any of your HIPAA, of your privacy, but no. new meds
I'm
at
an
all
open
or anything.
Book.
Yeah.
No, nothing's changed diet wise. Exercising like I have been.
Not
so
crazy,
let me ask you this
though.
About your diet then.
Yeah.
Sure.
I know you've been dieting. Are you on a crazy low carb diet or are you kind of a no carb or a low carb?
Low carb. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. And you don't want
it's
to
even
low
like,
carb. Because your body still needs some of that.
Right.
Still needs a couple carbs.
Everybody needs a couple of carbs,
yeah.
I just bought a new car.
I'm going to have deep fried fish tonight, fish and chips.
Oh, that'll be great. Let's fill you up with full of fried food.
Like, it is no low carb about it, but that's the plan for tonight before the Mammoth game. The crazy neighbors want fish fry, so we're going to get some fish fry.
And you've been drinking plenty of water, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking Which plenty of water.
Yeah.
Smart water.
Have you had any increased anxiety?
Oh.
Ooh, well, there is this event that's in 2 weeks that we're still waiting on one more freaking contract.
I mean that could be it. That's additional stress.
It certainly
and
could be possible.
So, are you taking a multivitamin along with everything else?
No.
Sometimes low iron can give you a little bit. Now, this is dizziness as opposed to lightheadedness, right?
You know what? I would actually call it more lightheadedness than dizziness because, the room doesn't spin. Like if I close my eyes, I don't feel like the room is spinning or I'm gonna throw up. I'd call it more lightheadedness than dizziness.
So not vertigo per se then.
Not necessarily vertigo. I don't get the pan out with the zoom in that Hitchcock made famous.
Oh, for vertigo,
Getting kind of like, is it getting kind of dark and then is that what you mean? Like the pan out and zoom in where is it getting dark around and then all of a sudden it comes back to normal?
He's saying it's not, that's not happening.
Yes. Yeah.
But do you feel like you have
more
to sit
lightheadedness
down?
Like a, like balloon head.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you ever feel like you just like, man, if I don't get a seat right now, I just, that's it.
Yeah.
I got to sit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Do you often, kind of jump up out of bed, kind of like stand up real quick and get a little lightheaded?
I do. I don't necessarily go vertical. Mm-hmm. But when the alarm goes off, I am Johnny on the spot hitting that button and turning it off because I don't want to wake Tina up. We get up at different times.
Yeah.
And sometimes, especially if you're on, I don't know if you happen to, again, I don't want to violate any privacy.
Sure.
The whole world watching. But if you're on certain blood pressure medications and other medications, if you stand up too quick from sitting, you can get some low blood pressure pretty quick, and it could make you a bit dizzy. Mm.
The only thing I'm taking right now, my friend, is the Meclizine itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's probably, I'd probably either, you could have some iron, maybe a little bit of, electrolytes, could be a little off, maybe take a little multivitamin and stick with the Meclizine and just keep yourself hydrated.
All right.
Then come see Dan in the morning. Or however the old phrase goes. Well, that's awesome.
Take two meeple and see Dan.
Take a meeple.
Take a meeple and definitely do whatever you can to relax.
Yeah.
Brian. I recommend you go to a nice game tonight, maybe imbibe a little bit this weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, just do whatever it is that you do to relax.
Yeah.
Eat some fried fish. You'll be fine.
Eat some fried fish.
You know, good fried fish, there's nothing quite like good fried fish.
Yeah. Yeah,
so.
This is a good place. This is a Wisconsin bar in downtown Denver that's got really good fish fry and big fat steak fries with them and coleslaw and all that. So
sounds so good.
So good.
Yeah, it does sound really good. Yeah. Well, all right. Dan, it's good to have you here.
It's good to be back, boys. I missed you guys.
Yeah, it's been a while. Happy birthday, by the way. Happened a week
Thank
ago.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, happy birthday.
We did a really cool thing last week. We went on this it was a hidden history tour in Raleigh where it's a trolley, and you go on a trolley, and it's BYOB. So you start off at this bottle shop, and you kind of fill up your cooler. You kind of go down to the trolley, and they bring you around Raleigh, and they show you these different things around the city. that you don't really realize are there. It's pretty cool because it's like you look at this thing.
Are you trying to tell me it's a Raleigh trolley?
A Raleigh trolley.
Yep.
Wait, so this sounds like that thing Brian did where they drove them around town in a multi-person bike motivated thing.
Oh yeah, right. Like the bike
bar. It's not like that. But I wish it was kind of. It's you're actually inside of a thing that's being driven.
Oh, okay.
So it's even less work that you have to
do. Are you on tracks at least? Like you're on
Okay. It's basically a bus.
All right.
But it looks like it's a trolley. A bus but
it's got a trolley facade.
Yeah.
A Raleigh trolley facade.
There's even a USB ports. So you can charge whatever the hell you want while you're sitting there drinking and being told.
Oh, that's great. That's how it should be. So did you tell me the number one, the most amazing thing you learned historically about your time around that thing? What'd you learn?
Well, there's a couple of really cool things. There's this, St. Agnes Hospital. It's really, really old. I think it's from like the late 1800s, and it's basically a skeleton of a building now, but between DC and New Orleans, it was the only specialist African-American hospital that you could go to between those two major cities. Mm. It had a lot of, it did a lot of studying and it was a lot of teaching for nurses and doctors. But it was pretty amazing to see. And you kind of like, man, and it's not that big. You're like, this sucks, for the time. You're like, this is the only thing people had.
Really? This was the only thing where, because they wouldn't let black patients in white hospitals, is that you're saying?
Stuff like that, yeah.
Man.
So, and then they said, as the years went on in like the 40s and 50s, then they started building other bigger hospitals and started integrating everything. And then, there wasn't as much of a need. It was just more of a, more of a teaching hospital for nurses and stuff. So, but it was pretty cool to see that. There's another thing where apparently back in the Civil War, or as they call it around here, the War of Northern Aggression.
Do they still call it that?
Yes.
Boy, all some the old Southerners, they still call it
that. Man, that is great. I thought it was just statues, but I didn't know they were really into the terminology of that. That's hilarious. Yeah. All right. So,
these really funky, square, you see, it's like railroad ties are in a square, and you see now they've got a lot of cinder blocks around them. And normally you just look at them and you're like, there's nothing. But as they point them out and they show you on this map, apparently there were cannons like 500 yards apart all around the city because of the invading armies.
Oh, wow.
The invading army of the North coming through to Raleigh.
Wow. That's crazy. Well, from that Northern Aggression War we all remember from school.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting to see some of that. So there was a lot of cool stuff, little things like that. And of course, any excuse to sit around with friends and listen to cool stuff and drink is fun.
Yeah. Did you go? So you had friends with you, or was it just you and your wife?
Another couple came with us, and it was myself and my wife.
Nice. That's a birthday. That sounds all right.
Oh, it was great. It was a ton of fun. It's like those are the things that
drink on that
thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the drinks are. Wait, you said that you had to bring your own though, or they?
It's fine because you just kind of bring your own. Like there were a bunch of older couples up front. They had a big nice bottle of champagne or a bottle of wine, and they were just kind of drinking it on there. I just happened to have a cooler of a bunch of beers that I picked up. Those bottle shops have a lot of funky stuff that you never heard of. So I was like, let me grab some of these and throw it in a cooler and go.
Nice.
Well, because they don't want you doing any Molly on the Raleigh trolley.
No. The Molly Raleigh trolley is a different
trolley. It's a different trolley.
Yeah. Gosh golly. All right. Hey, what if you have to pee? Where do you pee?
So halfway through, they stop at a bar.
Okay.
And you pee, or if you're done with whatever, you can go have another beer.
And go load up. Okay. Mm. All right. I think
it's pretty cool. And also, there was apparently in downtown Raleigh in the 40s, there was a minor league baseball stadium just right in the middle there. And you would have no idea because now it's just like a highway.
Mm.
And then they show you kind of a couple of things where, and also apparently there's a river that's underneath Raleigh. That's pretty fun.
Oh, really?
A river runs through it.
Underground river.
Yeah.
You see, they show you where there's a couple of these little canal-looking things. You just think it's like drainage, but it's actually the river that goes underneath Raleigh. So a lot of really cool stuff. And then to see kind of where the stands were, it looks like it's just an overgrowth and stuff like that. But if you kind of look at the way it's set up, and you look at these old-timey pictures that this girl's got, the one that's the lady that's leading the tour, and you're like, oh, wow, that's where the stands were. So you get off at a couple of places, and you walk around during the tour, and then you get back on the trolley and get on going.
So they have one of these kind of deals downtown in Salt Lake City. I don't know if it's a historical one, but it's more like probably the one Brian took. But do you ever see anybody who's not drinking on one of these things? Because I'd love to do one, but I don't want to be that one weirdo that's not drinking.
I would say it was probably about half and half.
Oh, interesting. Really? So you don't have to drink on there.
No. I don't. You don't have to drink to have a good time. Not even myself. But it does help.
Right. But. No, I understand. I don't want to ever.
I'm not doing the rolly trolley sober.
I always worry that if I'm, I just don't want to be that dude who's on there going, "Hey, everybody, I'm the one that doesn't drink." I don't know why. That's weird to me, but I probably shouldn't think that.
And the thing is,
silly.
Like,
yeah.
For the most part, you're not even really. Like the drinking part, you're not even really paying attention to who is or who isn't doing anything. You're so into the story or looking around. Like you don't even, it's funny because you're with friends, but you're not even really chatting. Maybe you're going, "Oh, that's cool." But you're listening to the stories and what they're pointing out. So, yeah, I mean,
is it live narrated? Is the guy doing it like the river tour in Disney where he's talking the whole time about everything? Is that how that works?
It was there was a young lady that was up front, and this was actually the first time she's done this tour because this apparently they do like a spooky tour, they do kind of a pub crawl, they do all sorts of different tours, but this was the first time they did the Hidden History one. Mm. So she was just standing up front with her little headset on and just kind of pointing things out, and then you know just talking most of the time, but it didn't seem like a, you know, when somebody won't shut up like me, it can be a drag. It's not. It wasn't really a drag at all while we were kind of hanging out.
Did she do some stupid puns though? Did she go, here's the bridge used to be, and you know what they say about the bridge? Sometimes you gotta bip, 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 whatever it is. I don't know what the joke is, but
no. I think she was a little nervous for the first time actually doing it because she was trying to work on her timing and everything else.
Yeah,
and
sure.
She told this story about how Raleigh became the capital of North Carolina as opposed to New Bern. I don't remember the story. It was something to do with somebody's cooking something was better than somebody else's, and it just became I don't remember what the heck it was, but it was interesting at the time. It was just so much of an overload, and
right,
you know, into the week I can't remember anything.
Did it take you by the triangle, the research triangle?
Well, everything is just that's right, the actual triangle.
The actual triangle, not the Raleigh Durham Greensboro triangle, but the actual
Raleigh Durham Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
Oh, Chapel Hill. That's right. Raleigh Durham Chapel Hill.
And that's a thing. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. Well, they call it RTP or Research Triangle Park.
Oh, and what do they do there? What are they researching there?
Well, there's a lot of like IBM was here. There's a lot of Dell was here for a while. There's a lot of medical research. So you got Glaxo and a lot of and of course you got two major hospitals in Duke and UNC Chapel Hill. They both have pretty major hospitals as far as cancer and a lot of other research and stuff like that.
That'd be a great place to meet up in a zombie apocalypse. Sounds like to me.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Unless it starts from there.
A lot of good architecture too.
Sure. Yeah.
As long as you can lock it down and there's still still water running and electricity in there, as long as you can do that.
Right. Yeah, I'm kidding.
Why the hell you would leave like they did, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would stay there forever.
Well, let's top things off today with a discussion about whatever games you guys think we should be folding out on our family tables this weekend and playing.
So I'm gonna try to put this in the chat for you in our little Skype if you can get it.
Yeah.
Oh, so I hear you like playing role-playing games.
Mm-hmm. I do like role-playing games. It turns out RPGs are probably my favorite of all the genres.
Absolutely amazing. I love RPGs as well. So there's not just the game itself. Half the fun of an RPG is making the character.
Mm.
Now, there's a company that's put out a game. Thunderworks Games put out a game a few years ago called Role Player, where the whole game is you making your character.
Okay.
And it's actually a lot more fun than you think. Now, the whole idea is like, oh, yeah, maybe we'll be able to get kind of a character once we're done with this whole thing. But really, you're not really getting a whole usable character. It's just kind of, dice drafting and kind of going through it. You have an alignment in there and you're basically drafting dice and then you're kind of getting some equipment. It's a lot of fun to play, though. It seems like something that would be a little weird, but man, it is a ton of fun.
I mean, character creation is half, well, I shouldn't say half. It's a huge part of what I enjoy, especially about D&D and other sort of pen and paper style games. Yep. Even video games. Like, I love a good character creator. I want to get really nitty gritty about stats and what gear I start with and what my class is and how it differs from others and, like, all the different things you do in RPGs. I mean, that process is fun alone. You got me kind of interested here. I mean, what's the point? How do you win?
So, there's points for everything. So, there's kind of two ways to look at it. So there's points with, there's different, like you see all the stars and stuff like that on a lot of these, on a lot of those cards. That's kind of what the points are, is the stars. But really, the journey is kind of more fun than kind of the end game. Like, this is kind of one of those games where you're like, ah, who cares who wins? Because you're just having fun making a character, seeing what kind of different traits you get, what kind of stat, you know, what kind of equipment you get, and kind of where your alignment, you're kind of moving your alignment according to the cards. Now, this would be something that would be the hardest thing is to take a character from here and then, you know, invest a lot of time in it. It may be fun if you have a regular group that'll play weekly to kind of put it into a campaign. The people that have created it, they're coming out with role player adventures. I think it's out later this year, where you can actually take the character and you kind of go through a storybook using the character you created in role player to go through that little story there. So then I guess you can kind of get your fix, and you don't have to invest like a whole campaign into it, but you still get your fix of using what you created.
That's crazy. What an interesting idea. Yeah,
I mean, it looks like he uses all the same colored dice as that Gan's shown clever too.
That's right. Yeah, and it's funny because all the different dice, the colors matter in the game, and you know, sometimes you may want high numbers depending on your character and or your character traits, because you may have something like adventurous or obnoxious. So maybe you need high stats in one thing, but you want low stats in another color, or you want to use all of the same color in a certain stat, things like that. So you're constantly, and there's dice manipulation. Now, another thing is, it may be a little weird to have this into a game of like D&D or something, because you're going to end up with inordinate amount of like 18s. So you may have like 3 18s and like 2 4s. Mm-hmm. So it'd be a real wonky thing to try and role play. So that's where the game kind of gets a little weird as far as transferring it into like an actual RPG, but it works for the way the game plays.
Yeah. What an interesting take. I like it. It reminds me of, once in a while I'll find like an iOS game or something that is an aspect of RPGs, but not the main game. So example, I have one that's just kind of a simulator of what it's like to be the dude who buys all the crap the adventure comes back from the dungeon with.
Yep.
And he vendors all of his junk. Like, think of just an NPC in World of Warcraft, for example, where you're just dumping your junk. And I make a bunch of money by selling him new things. I spend money by buying his old stuff. I break that old stuff down and make more things for him. He goes on another adventure. He comes back. He pays me again. Like, I can't remember the name of this game, but I really like when someone will come up with a way of saying, hey, what's it like from the point of view? Or like even like those Dungeon Defender games or Dungeons 3 just came out. Anyway, games where you're the bad guy.
Oh, you're the DM or you're the monster setting up things.
Yeah, and you set up the whole dungeon and build it all out and dig all the gold, like, and then the guys come.
I'm going to sit way back here because I'm the big boss, but I'm going to let all these other guys be in front of me to take the
basically, break. Yeah. And you have all your little goblin minions to be the first wave of defense. You got a bunch of traps that the adventurers didn't see. Like, I like when the perspective in an RPG environment is flipped to something otherwise thought of as kind of mundane. That's what this seems like. This seems really neat.
There's a good game from about 10 years ago from Vlada Shivadal. He's actually the guy that made Codenames. It's called Dungeon Lords, and it's from 10 years ago, and you actually are the guy who has your own dungeon, and you're putting things into your dungeon, and the whole part of the game is kind of making your dungeon strong enough, because there's going to be kind of so-so heroes, but then all of a sudden later, there's going to be like the epic heroes are going to be coming in there and just kicking your ass.
Oh, yeah, there it is, Dungeon Lords.
And it's a little complex, but again, if you got somebody that's teaching the game, it's not bad at all, but it's a ton of fun. They also did another one called Dungeon Pets, which was of the sequel to it.
That's cool.
And you got to deal with poop in that game. You'd like that game, Johnson.
Well, you know, I love dealing with poop. It's my favorite thing to deal with. That's great. I think I would play this. I'm curious about it. I want to check it out.
Yeah, you would really dig, I think, role player. You guys really dig. The thing with role player, now it might be a lot cheaper now, but when it first came out, it was like $80.
Jeez.
Now it's a good game, but it's not $80 good.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of scratch for a game that's, you know, it's got such decent stuff in there, but it's a fun game. There's actually, I played it at the last Nerdtacular with some people up there. That's why I was trying to remember of whether or not I talked about it with you or not, or talked about it on the show.
Mm-hmm. It's the first time hearing about it, so that's interesting. So it's been around for a while. It's not the newest thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it came out that year. I think somebody just happened to have a real early copy. So I think it came out in 16.
Sorry. Oh, my gosh. I was going to push the sneeze and then push the wrong thing, and it didn't work. Sorry,
push the volume up button.
Anyways, all right, well, check it out.
Now you're dizzy.
Yeah, now I'm all dizzy. Check it out over there. I guess you can get on Amazon or whatever, right? Most places.
Yeah, and they've got a few other games. There's actually a Roll and Write this year that's in that same same universe of role player, and there's also going to be another worker placement game. I believe I just talked about both of those games on Munchkin Land recently. So check that out.
Steven Schleicher's little show, Munchkin Land.
He's a good fellow, that Schleicher.
Yeah, I like him too. Oh, here it is. Role player. They have the Monsters and Minions expansion. If you buy the whole bundle, $77.99, or you can just get the base game for $46, and it has a near perfect score on Amazon. People really like it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to check it out. That seems like right up my butthole. So I'm going to get it. Oh, yeah. Dan, the tabletop man, where else can people catch more of you and, more importantly, more of your cool game recommendations?
Well, you can check me out on the Geek All-Stars podcast. Or, like I said, you can find me on Munchkin Land. There'll probably be another one out next week, which I do a lot of news for the, you know, a little short form, 10 minutes of the board game industry news. And check me out at Geek Jock Blog on Twitter.
Nice.
I need one of these days. I'm going to just change it to Dan or Dan Board Game Man, something along those lines. Yeah. I got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because Geek Jock Blog is so 15 years ago.
I know. You always, I mean, I have some names for things. Like when I started the Instance, it was a cool name because instances were new. No one had ever done that in a video game. Like the idea of hitting your own version of a dungeon, then no one else could be in there. You always had to sit around outside and camp in EverQuest or whatever game it was.
Mm-hmm.
And instances were like, oh my gosh, a brand new thing. Let's call the show that now. Nobody cares about it. It's all, everyone does this now. So it's like a dumb name now. Right. I'm not going to change it, but still.
Yeah, we can't all be perfect like Coverville, which is, you know, that'll last forever and be perfect.
It's the man, it's the show, it's the myth, it's the legend, it's all that stuff. Yeah,
and he's dizzy. Look out. all right, fantastic stuff. Dan, take it easy. We'll talk
all right,
to
boys,
you
have a great weekend.
All right, we'll see you later.
See you, man.
Bye. You just flipped me off? No, he waved. He didn't flip me off.
He totally did. He totally flipped you off, man.
I got the sneezes, but it feels like hope there's not already pollen in the air. That'd be fun to deal with. All right, that's it for that. Let's do some quick TMS questions. We got time for a few here.
Ask TMS.
In fact, where is it?
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
There you go. Gotta have Rick Perry or it's not fun. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Here goes. Let's dive right in. This is the Ask TMS hashtag that is used by you, dear listeners. And we got one here from Slippy Whippy.
Okay.
He says, so you won't lick food off your finger, but it's okay with putting screwdrivers in your nose and toothpicks in your ears. I think we're heading into doth protest too much territory, methinks.
Whoa. I love it when somebody, doles out the doth protest too much argument.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, first of all, I don't know that it's not, it may be hazardous and dangerous to put a toothpick in your ear, but it's not inherently gross.
And it's even acknowledge that it's dangerous to put a toothpick or a screwdriver in your ear.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not like you're a closet toothpick in your ear guy. You know, you admit that you do it, you cop to it.
Right. Now, and also he's confused about how this works. If he was saying that I was complaining that too many people licked food off their finger and that that's gross, but then in my private life or on camera or in other places, I was constantly licking food off my finger. That would be a case of doth protest too much, right? Because sure. I'm hypocrisy living my life licking food off my finger when I say it's bad for one else to do it. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying, look, I'll put a thing in my ear and regret it, but I'm not telling anyone to do it or to not do it. You know,
right. So, and you're, but like I said, you're even admitting, I probably shouldn't be doing this, but I'm doing it anyway and whatever.
Right. Well, he had another question.
Oh,
so we'll let him ask this one now. Do you guys have a top 5 or 10 of all time movies list? Because you can take a week to think about it or the next PM, or Scott can do this now since Mad Max Fury Road. He can just say that 4 times and then Star Wars. I think Slippy Whippy has got a little sarcasm bone going here. My 5. Let's do 5. Do you have a 5?
I don't know if I do. I'm pretty sure I do. I mean, yeah, I'd probably go Shawshank Redemption, Empire Strikes Back, Fight Club, Memento. That might be.
That's your top 4.
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction's in there.
Pulp Fiction's in there. Yeah.
I share Let's two of that. Yours, by the way. Shawshank and... oh, shoot. What was the other one you said? Oh, and Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back,
Those two are on my top five. In fact, I would put them at 5 and 4.
Mm.
At 3, I would put... that's hard. Let me think for a second. All right, at 3, I'm going to... at 3, I'm going to put... Oh. That's too hard. I can't think.
I know it is. It is. It
There's
is
too
hard,
many, too many movies. They're just going through my head, and I'm thinking of movies I love versus ones that I know are critically better, but still don't love them as much as the ones I love. You know, like there's all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you my top two are Mad Max Fury Road is number one.
Yeah, I'm curious about what number two is actually.
Barry Levinson's Avalon is number two.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's not.
Couldn't be more different than the number one slot. I love Avalon. I will always love that movie. I think it's an amazing film, and people should watch Avalon. But I feel like it. I feel like the fact that the Coens exist and they've got like 12 movies that I adore. It's not fair to even try to make a list that's only 5 movies. Like there are so many Coen brothers movies I put in here. Fargo's in my top 10. Like it'd be easier just to say here's a list of my favorite movies and not rank them. You know, that I could do. I'd have to think about it because there's a lot of movies, it turns out now. But it
turns out.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, it turns out tons of movies.
Hey, bet you didn't know this, but it turns out there's a lot of movies. They just keep getting, and there's more every day.
Every stinking day. All right. How about this one from Barbie's Horse?
Okay. All right.
Why does...
Which I'm sure had a name, by the way. Somebody obviously didn't do any research.
Oh, that's true. Whoever's Barbie's Horse is. Now, this might be older. It is older. And maybe we've asked it. Why does Scott brag so much about his large head? He should try to be more humble. Also, will Ibit be inviting El Chapo to the game night? I don't know what that means.
I don't either. I don't know if... Do you necessarily brag about your large head?
No, I don't brag about it. I complain about it. I have a big, dumb head. I don't like it. That's not a point of pride for me. I hate my big head. This hat I'm gonna have on right now barely fits. I don't like it. I think it makes me look like I have a big, heavy meathead. I don't like it. So no, bragging, I don't brag. I may bring it up once in a while. Maybe that's what he or she means.
Yeah.
So why do I bring it up so much? I don't know, but, let's see.
It's a defense mechanism. You know, you feel like if you keep talking about it, it'll go away. It'll shrink someday.
There you go.
I don't know.
Jack Wolf said just barely a minute ago, Scott, will you and Kim keep the same poop/throw-up/blood arrangement for caring for your grandchildren? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kim still doesn't want to do barf, and I don't want to do...
Should you maybe clarify what that arrangement is? Because just calling it the poop/pee/throw-up arrangement might not be enough for some people to know.
Right. So the poop-throw-up-blood situation is... And it was this way with the kids when they were little. If they were barfing, it was my job to take care of it. If they were pooping and having a major poop outbreak or whatever, that was Kim's job. And the blood arrangement just seems like it was mostly my job, too. I always dealt with like a cut finger or a bruised knee.
It feels like the blood arrangement really should be whoever's on duty. Like it's...
Yes.
And by duty, I don't mean duty. I mean...
I agree. Duty. And often it was. If Kim was with the kids alone and somebody got cut, she would take care of it. But if we were all home, it seemed like I was always doing it.
Sorry, you're going to have to wait till Scott's back.
That's just the way the blood arrangement goes. The blood arrangement. Anyway.
The blood arrangement. The blood pact.
The blood pact. So, yes, the answer to that is yes. All right, let's see if we got one more here. Brian, let's ask you this question.
All right, love
this
it.
This is from Lowy D.
Hit me.
What is your favorite jelly/jam do you like with your peanut butter sandwich?
Ooh. It's funny. I think this comes from the fact that I was talking about Smuckers the other day on the show. Because the thing that always was dumb to me is with a name like Smuckers, it has to be good.
Yeah.
I take that to mean as, because there's something about the word Smuckers that we're supposed to immediately infer means good. But somebody pointed out, it's like, it's such a bad name that it better be good to have such a crap name.
Is that what it? That's not what it means, is it?
That's what people infer.
I thought it was always supposed to be like, hey, it's the name you know and trust in the world of jellies, and so if you hear about Smuckers, it has to be good because they're.
But they use that. They've been using that since probably from Jump Street, right? From day one.
Back in probably like the 30s or something, 40s.
Yeah. Somebody pointed out a name like rectal bleeding. It's got to be good. Because that's such a horrible name that for us to pick it willfully. Anyway, so my go-to, it's going to sound pedestrian, but I like a good peach jelly.
Oh, peach is good.
Yeah.
There's nothing pedestrian about that. I think that's fine.
Yeah, I love a good peach jelly.
I like a good grape jelly. That's super pedestrian.
Right. Nothing wrong with grape jelly. Mm. I don't really have an issue. I don't like mango jelly, and I think it's because I'm not a big fan of mangoes.
Me either. You and I share this mango aversion. It tastes like hairspray. I don't like it.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Yeah. There's a few people out there who agree with me. Most of you like mango. I don't have a problem with you. I will not discriminate based on your mango love, but yeah. I'm with Brian. Mangoes are gross.
I'll do a mango salsa, and I'll be happy with that.
Yeah.
But if you ask me, like, I've got some good dry mango pieces. Would you like to munch on some dry mango pieces? I'm like, no, I'd rather eat the insert of my shoe. Thank you very much.
This week on My Strange Addiction.
Brian eats the insert of his shoe.
Brian eats the soles of his shoes. Yeah. So there you go.
Look at that. CJ Boat just had a baby boy, Dragos Kai.
Oh, well done.
Congratulations. I hope your wife was somehow involved. Or
you know what's going to happen? Because he has a baby now, right? And his life has changed. His schedule has changed. He won't be able to host podcasts that are 9 hours long.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have both been on the said podcast that are 9 hours long.
Yeah. Whenever I see somebody on Twitter will like say, hey, I'm on this show. And I'll just sneak a little DM to him and go, just make sure you clear the day. Make sure it's all open for you.
Yeah.
Lots of time.
I might have had a time where I had technical difficulties at about hour three of a show that I had to somehow get away from.
Yeah. Oh, no. My Tembe's teapot is sliding out. I love it, dude. Oh, that's a great way to get out of a 3-hour thing that was supposed to go 45 minutes. Thanks for your questions. You can send them to the AskTMS hashtag on Twitter. We're happy to read them. Although the new Twitter layout doesn't seem to like to list them the way I want, which is super annoying.
Oh, really?
I don't understand what they're doing over there at Twitter. Their default app and their web stuff is something's up. Something's broken or weird or I can tell it's not coming through right. And the reason I know is I'll use a third-party one like Tweetbot.
Tweetbot?
No problem. Yeah. It's all fine. Yeah. I see everyone's reply. I go to the main Twitter one, and I know people are going to say, well, Scott, that's that new home versus latest thing. No, I know the difference. But if I do latest, I'm not getting the latest. I'm getting like 8 hours between some tweets, which I know are filled in with other stuff because the other app shows it to me. They're all there in there. There's something wrong with it.
Yeah. Anyway. No, I'm Tweetbot all the way. I don't even...
I'm back. Well, I take that back.
I guess I have to use the native app on my phone, and
we should use Tweetbot on there. It's great on there. That's where it's best.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
Is it on the phone? All
yeah,
right,
the phone version is where it started. Their desktop one came later. You should do that.
Okay.
Yeah, Tweetbot is amazing on the phone.
Can I still put in an entertaining and appropriate GIF?
You can put in a sexual GIF. What that means. All right. What else is going on? That's it. We're done.
$4.99.
I know it's a premium app, but they don't want it. There's no ads, and they don't don't jerk you around. Although I'm seriously worried about the day when someday in the not too far flung future, where Twitter just doesn't let anyone else do third party, and they just take it all away. I can see that happening because they're kind of being dicks right now. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Chat room. What? What's your most excited? Oh, I am excited for 8.2, and you should listen to The Instance today for more details on that.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I think Heart of Azeroth is straight up fixed now once that comes out.
I think so, too. I really like that. It harkens back to the Legion fill in the bar thing.
Totally.
Yeah, what was I going to say? Is that destined for Tuesday, do we know? Or
No, this is like, well, they say summer, but I'm thinking like June, maybe early July. So it's a ways off, which sucks. I wish it was sooner.
But we got time.
Graham Cracker, no more news of the Vegas stuff yet? I mean, other than, it's all happening. So be there.
Yeah.
I
really want to announce something. But
yeah, we have a meet space thing for Saturday that just needs a final contract thing.
Right.
But once it's there.
The Friday thing is nailed down. We have a venue. We're having a casual thing. We're holding on to that because if the thing Saturday falls through, there's a chance we could do the Friday thing. Use that for the Friday place.
Oh, okay.
I feel like we can. No, we'll wait. We'll listen. I'm gonna do what I can to get everything nailed down this weekend.
But we promise you. I swear, it's already cooler. It's already cooler than last year. Okay.
Yes.
That we know. So that's all that matters. And we'll give you specifics. But if you're coming, you're coming. So
you're coming. Right.
Yeah. If you're coming, you're there. If you're family, you're at Olive Garden.
And I found out we've only really got two people who are console only. I mean, this is probably after show discussion.
Even easier then, because then it's only two we have to worry about. That's great.
Exactly.
Awesome. True gamers, the rest of them. Just kidding. I'm not one of those PC purists, although I do like PC gaming. Anyway, it's not the point. Let's get on with it here. Hey, check it out. If you want to support this show, because that's how you get your Friday evening show like we're doing right now, you can get it over at patreon.com/TMS. Oh, yes. That's the place you could go and spend a dollar for 16 episodes a month, like some kind of idiots that we are. You're not the idiots. You're the smart ones. Take advantage of us at patreon.com/TMS. You can also send us voicemails, 801-471-0462, or you can leave us an email, themorningstream@gmail.com, for anything else you might need. You'll find it at frogpants.com/TMS. All right, before we go, Brian's going to play a song, and I have no idea what it is. Brian?
Yes, we're going to rock you. Tonight, we're going to rock you. Tonight. Brian wrote in.
Oh,
not me, but somebody else named Brian. He says, after more than 6 years of my current job, I've made the difficult decision to leave for other opportunities. As of April 15th, I will start a brand new job and was hoping you guys could play an interesting cover of one of my favorite songs. I leave it to you to find a suitable cover of the song. If not possible, any Iron Maiden song would be acceptable. Love the show though. Regards, Brian, who says, P.S. How about a booby?
Oh, does he want that? I can give it to him.
Yeah, of course he does.
Booby.
How about a booby?
How about a booby?
There's Fletcher.
How about a booby?
There's Veronica. And then.
Wow. Yeah, I like an occasional pair of boobies, you know.
That's me talking away. Anyway, there you go.
All right. So there you go. All right. How about a cover of Fear of the Dark? This one came out, about 8-9 years ago on an album of remixes by DNA remixes. This one was originally done by Iron Maiden but covered by Yahel, Y-A-H-E-L. Here's what's cool about it: it takes that rock song Fear of the Dark that you know so well by Iron Maiden and turns it into a dance track with female vocals. You might be, I don't know, wanting to pick up a glow stick and go to a rave with this thing. Take some E and get dizzy like me. Who knows? Fear of the Dark, performed by Yahel, the DNA remix.
Enjoy your weekend. See you on FilmSack. See you on TWBD. See you on all sorts of things. And see you Monday, most importantly, right here on TMS. Goodbye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Gordon's alive!